I promise you, I'm going to attempt to be the hero of every child in this meeting house tonight. We, many years ago at McClenny Church, we hosted the Florida Fellowship meeting, and it just happens every once in a while. We had a dear, precious, old brother who shall forever remain nameless. And he shall forever remain nameless, Timothy. So we had a brother speak first. We were going to try three. So Saturday night, there's been three services on Friday, three services on Saturday. And so I spoke to the dear men, you know, and said, you all please be mindful, you know, of the time and our folks have been. So the first brother stood about 20 minutes. I thought, this is great. The next brother stood for an hour. And the next brother got up and, you know, he said, I love you all dearly. We've heard a lot of preaching. And the Lord's been good to us this weekend. And I'll live to preach another day. And he sat down. He became the hero of every little child in that church that night. They still speak his name with great joy and gladness. So, as I have shared with many young ministers over the years who have been ordained at McClenny Church, I do share that with them. We will live to preach another day. So I'm going to shift gears very quickly, tell you a very, just maybe make a point and brag on the Lord, take our seats. I do want to say this by way of thanksgiving. I am so thankful to be here with this church this weekend to celebrate the gift of God's grace in the form of Brother McNeil Honey. I am so thankful. What a high privilege for me to be here this weekend to celebrate the gift of God's grace in the form of that teaching, preaching, speaking, I'm sure soon to be pastoring gift, Brother McNeil Honey. I've had the privilege, Brother Michael Ivey afforded us the privilege about a year ago of pulling the gospel plow together at the church in Moss Point, Mississippi, and I couldn't wait to get out on Sunday afternoon, call his pastor and say, it's unbelievable. It's the first time I'd heard him preach with him. Just amazing, not just the content of what he said, but the incredibly humble, amen, gentle spirit with which he was preaching. Paul said to be careful when you ordain young men, not being a novice, lest lifted up with pride they fall into condemnation of the devil. And what I observed was glorious gospel preaching, but the opposite of pride in his preaching. My grandmother, who raised four old Baptist preachers when I was a young preacher, she said, son, young preachers can be like guinea wasps. Do y'all know what a guinea wasp is? Very small. I said, well, how was that, Mima? How can a young preacher be like a guinea wasp? She said, son, they're bigger when they're first hatched out than in any other time in their life. Evidently, God has blessed Brother McNeil to get past that. Because I had the privilege just recently of being in service with him Brother McNeil? Tired Creek Primitive Baptist Church. And I couldn't wait on Sunday afternoon to get out and call his pastor, Brother Tim. It was even more glorious, so wonderful. And his great humility, his gentleness, and his kindness just overwhelmed me. So, how good has the Lord been to this church here? How good. Brother Luke, Brother Neil, Brother McNeil, God's been so good to you all. Amen? Amen. We're so thankful. So this is what I want to share with you right now very quickly, and then I'm going to say good night and God bless. Sound like Red Skeleton, doesn't it? Good night and may God bless. About a month or so ago, I was preaching for the church at Pleasant Plains Primitive Baptist Church, and that's in Middle Georgia, and they're a very sweet place. And as I was driving, it's way out in the country, as I was driving there, out on this lone country road, the road kind of teed into another road. You had to come to a stop, there's a tee. And evidently, they had elections going on in a big way in that small county, Twiggs County. And based on the number of political signs that I saw, evidently I was the only person in the county right then that was not running for a political office. It was amazing. I could not believe it. I'm not overstating it. There were probably 30 different political signs in that tee. They were strategically placed at that tee right there as you come up. Well, back in another life, back years ago, and I encouraged our folks, the 46 years that I was pastor of McClenny Primitive Baptist Church, I encouraged our folks to exercise their discipleship in the area of citizenship. That's right, and it's good and healthy, and America experiences what we're experiencing today in this post-truth culture in which we live because we haven't done that. We should express our discipleship in the area of citizenship. And I used to do that very overtly. I never ran for anything. I'm not Chris McCool. I never ran for anything, but but I tried to help, and thankfully, successfully, I worked very hard to try to help several people get elected. A couple on the state level and several on the local level. And I can remember the first campaign that I was part of on the local levels for superintendent of schools. And I remember this. We campaigned and we went around asking folks, let us put out signs. Let's put out signs. So I became a great sign counter. And I can remember I'd ride through a section of Baker County and the opponent would have several signs and I'd almost lose my breath. And we go back to campaign headquarters. I said, God, I just know how it's going to work out. I saw more signs. They had more signs than we had out in Sanderson. We got to get to Sanderson tomorrow, right now. Let's go. And then I'd ride, and I'd go through Glen St. Mary. We'd have more signs. I'd feel good about ourselves again. And then I'd go into Taylor, and the opponent would have more signs, and I'd see those signs, and it'd take my breath away. The power that the signs of the political opponent, the power that those signs held, they had a way of almost paralyzing me. But you know, listen to me very carefully, you know the day after the election, and by the way, our candidate won by a landslide. You all are very happy, aren't you? Man, I got to keep my job. Our candidate won by a landslide. You know, I went through those same communities, and I went through Sanderson, and I went through Taylor, and I saw all of those opponents' signs on the next day. And do you know how much they worried me? Absolutely none. They were a defeated opponent. Their signs had no strength. They had no power because they've been defeated. I see God's people, I see their hearts failing them for fear today. I visit with God's people every single day of my life. They call me, I call them. They text me, I text them. They email me, I email them. And I hear so much fear. I can feel their hearts becoming paralyzed by the circumstances of our world. And we see all the upheaval in our land, in our nation, post-truth culture, economic upheaval, political instability around the globe. Satan is the master of disaster, isn't he? Yes. He's the king of chaos. He's created all this turmoil. Yes. But this is what the Apostle Paul said. I thought about this when I saw all those political signs. Paul said, this is the circumstance that Satan is in today. We must remember this. We must remember this. He can frighten us. He can paralyze us. His kingdom of darkness can overwhelm our souls if we don't keep this in memory. Paul said in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15, listen, he said, having spoiled principalities and powers. Yes. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Yeah. Whatever it was, whatever the it was, Christ triumphant, he was triumphant in it over principalities and Satan's. Those are the imps of Satan. What Paul is saying is that Christ removed, ultimately removed the resources of Satan. If you spoke, if you were a conquering king, if you were a conquering general and you spoiled your opponent, you took away their ultimate ability to do final battle against you. Christ did that on the cross. He has destroyed him that had the power of death, which is the devil. He spoiled him. I'm telling you, for the past 2,000 years, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has gone around this globe unchecked, if you please. It was mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Whereas before the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world, the whole world lay in darkness. The Gentiles, the pagans of this world, they sat blind in the land of the valley of the shadow of death. But Christ comes on the scene and they've seen a great light now. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ went out mightily because Satan was spoiled in his kingdom. He spoiled him. He robbed him of his ability to thwart the kingdom of God going forth in this world. He's still the same Jesus today. He's still the same conquering king. And I like this next part. And he made a show of him openly. You know what that means? He embarrassed Satan at Calvary. Amen. He humiliated him at Calvary. He put him to an open shame. Shame on him. Satan is humiliated and he ain't happy about it. And he'll take it out on you if you let him. He made a show of him openly. Just shamed him before all. Who did he shame him in front of? He shamed him in front of all principalities and powers. I've been on the sidelines in football games when we won and when we lost. And players look at their coaches one way in victory and they look at their coaches another way in defeat. I wonder what the imps of hell thought whenever Christ got up the third morning. I wonder how they looked at their king, Satan, then. What have you gotten us into? You ought to be ashamed. And he is. Made a show of him openly, triumphing him in it. So what I want you to leave with here tonight is Satan is destroyed. At Calvary, he was given such a wound as he will not be recovered from it. Right. Now I'll tell you a quick story and I'll sit down. Brother Lonnie Mazingo Sr., Lonnie Mazingo Jr.'s father, of course. Brother Lonnie Mazingo Sr., he was like a father to me. I loved him so much. He carried the mail for the United States Postal Service for many, many years. Now this is, even though Satan's a conquered foe, this is what he can do to you. Even though he's defeated. God has taken away his resources, his ability to destroy you eternally. He cannot do that. He's been spoiled of it. But he can bother you in this world if you let him. He's on a chain. So Brother Lonnie was telling me about, he had just been given a new route. And the first thing I understand postal carriers want to do on a new route is you want to figure out where the dogs are, right? Makes sense. So he came to a home he'd never been to before, and he said there was a long sidewalk going from the street to the house, a long, long sidewalk. He stepped inside the fence and he said the grass in the yard was about that high. And he said, I looked 5 minutes. I looked, searched, whistled for any dog that may be to come to me, make yourself known, show yourself. He said, I whistled and tried to get any dog that may. And finally, he said, finally, I decided there are no dogs here. I'm in good shape. And he said, He said, that dog must have had it figured out. He said, just about time I got down to the point in the sidewalk that I wasn't going to make it back to the gate. He said, it was about that time, he said, that a bulldog with the biggest head he'd ever seen in his life got up in that grass and started coming to him just with his fangs showing and growling and coming at him and just as hard as he possibly could. And he said, I knew there's no need to run. He said, I got my leather binder ready and I was just going to hit him with everything that I had. And he said, he was coming. He was on me. He was going to have me. He was as big as I was. And he said, just about the time he got to where he was, just about the time he was on me, he said, the chain that I couldn't see snatched his neck back and jerked him back. And he just let out a big yelp and there he was. He said, I was fine. I was safe because I didn't get inside that bulldog's chain.
Right. Yes.
Now listen, Satan is defeated. Amen?
Amen?
Stay outside of his chain.
Amen.